good to be with you this morning. Hope you, your morning's been well so far. I've been blessed yesterday, fellowshipping with many of you and just getting the chance to enjoy the nice, cool weather here. Little break from the warm island weather in Hawaii. Thank you so much, Chaplain, for clarifying. I thought this was the winter week of prayer, but it's the spring week of prayer, so appreciate that clarification. Yesterday, we talked about the importance of standing up for social justice. We read in the book of Isaiah how the Lord was moved when he saw the injustices in the world, and how he was deeply grieved that he saw no one to stand up and do anything about it. And we learned that God is calling us, that heaven's command is to relieve the sorrows of the earth, to use our voice for those who do not have a voice, to speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, to use our strength to protect those who can't protect themselves, and to use our wisdom to guide those who don't know the way. And for the rest of our week of prayer, we're going to be looking at essential characteristics that we need to have in order to be those world changers. We're going to talk about the ABCs of evangelism, and so today we start with letter A, the characteristic of being able and available. Tomorrow we'll talk about being bold and beautiful. Then the next day, the context of connection. Then D, demonstrating the divine. Then E, emptied to empathize. And so every single day for the rest of our time together, we'll be going through those ABCs of being world changers. But our first topic, for letter A, is that God is calling us to be available so that he can be able in our lives. And so I hope you brought your Bibles. If you did, would you please open with me to the book of Matthew chapter 28 as we read this very important and well-known passage. We're going to Matthew, the 28th chapter, where Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he gives some of his final words to his early church. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 19. And if you're there, would you please say amen. Lord, please bless us now as we study your word. Speak to our hearts and speak to our minds that we might be world changers for Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Here Jesus speaks some of his last words to his infant church. He gives to the disciples then, as well as to every single one of us now, what we call the Great Commission. It is a Herculean task. He's telling us to go to all nations and teach them all things, to tell everybody everything I have told you. But the task that Christ gave to the disciples was far too big for them. Their resources were small. Their faith was weak and their strength was frail. The organized church was against them. The civil powers of the day were suspicious of them. They lacked formal education and ecclesiastical ordination. And with all these different factors stand up against them, yet Christ still gave them this great commission. Why would Jesus pick them? The commission was grand and great, but those commissioned were anything but great in the eyes of men. Why would Jesus pick them? I remember when I was in elementary school, the highlight of the day, if you're in elementary school, what is the best part of the day in elementary school? Recess, right? Is it still the same for university? Break time. And I remember we used to play football back in Hawaii during recess time, and we would have team captains that would pick the teams, and we would junk in a pool is what we call it in Hawaii. You call it rock, paper, scissors, to see who can pick first. And I remember whenever I had the opportunity of being the team captain, I would always pick Douglas because he was a real strong classmate of mine, and he was big and strong. I also made sure to pick Bradley Hirota. He was a small Japanese boy, but he could kick the ball really far, so it would be good to have him on my team. I also picked John Dela Cruz, a Filipino guy, not because he was big or he could kick the ball far, but he was a very smart quarterback, and so he knew how to do plays and whatnot. And I remember that usually the most gifted, athletic, and talented kids were always picked first. The weaker kids were always picked last. And you always hoped that you would not be one of those. Thankfully, I was never picked first, but thankfully I was never picked last either. But friends, when Jesus came to this earth, he could have picked the very best to be on his team. He could have chose the richest, the wisest, the strongest, the most eloquent and influential, but he bypassed all of those, and it seems as if Jesus started from the bottom up. Why was Jesus so confident in this ragtag team of disciples? Why did Jesus not hesitate in giving to them the Great Commission? Well, friends, the answer lies in understanding that third word of verse 19. The word, therefore. Now that word, therefore, is an adverb that serves as a conclusionary word. It summarizes the conclusion and it articulates the implication of the previous statement. Therefore simply means consequently, as a result of, on account of that, or for this reason, etc. And so for what reason did Jesus say go? What is the foundation of therefore? It's in the previous verse. Let's read it. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all what? Power, authority or power, same thing. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. In other words, friends, the power to fulfill the Great Commission was not found in the disciples, their resources, their strength, or their wisdom. It was not found in the commissioned, but it was found in the Great Commissioner. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and earth. And when you're connected to me, you can make a difference in the whole world. I'm calling you to be a world changer. And I'm not dependent on your abilities or your skills, nor am I limited of your lack thereof. I'm just calling you to be available. You see, in this Great Commission, there are four alls. All power, all nations, all things, and all ways. You see, God provides the power and his presence. He said, I have all power. I want to be with you always. That's God's part. Our part is to go to all nations and teach them all things. God surrounds us with his power and his presence, and as long as we're in the midst of that, we have nothing to be afraid of. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 is a powerful verse. Let's read it together, shall we? Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says on the screen, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What I want to share with you today, friends, is very simple. God is able. The question is, are you available? God's ability is what empowers our availability. And before you are able, you first must be available to God. In other words, God's power needs our presence. It's the power that works in us, and he has all power. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Friends, let us never underestimate the power of God. It is his power that came upon nothing and spoke time, space, and matter into existence. It is God's power that upholds the worlds and keeps the sun, moon, and stars in their orbit through space. It is God's power that breathed into clay and humanity was born in his precious image. It was God's power that caused the sun to stand still in the valley of Ajalon so that Joshua can continue to work. It was the power of God that opened up the Red Sea and made a way for Moses when there seemed to be no way at all. It is God's power that locked the lion's jaw for Daniel and cooled down the fiery furnace for the three Hebrew boys. It was God's power that recreated his own divine existence and entered into flesh to dwell among us. It was the power of God that opened up blind eyes so that they could see his beautiful face, and opened up deaf ears so that they could hear the words of truth, and loosened the tongue of the dumb so that they could sing praises to him. It was the power of God that straightened up lame legs so that the paralytic could go on walking and leaping and praising God. And let me tell you, friends, it was the power of God that sent someone to my door when I was out there doing drugs. This was me not long ago. And friends, if you look into those eyes, there's no life in those eyes. I was a druggie, burning on my brain cells, chasing the world, acting a fool, but it was the power of God that heard my mom praying for me. It was the power of God that compelled someone to knock on my doors and invite me to a Bible prophecy seminar. It was the power of God that was demonstrated through the preaching of the word that pierced my hardened heart and penetrated my clouded mind and set me free instantly from that life of drugs and addiction. It is the power of God that sent me to over 30 countries in the last 10 years to preach a message of hope to the world. It is the power of God that I'm standing before you here this morning. Never underestimate the power of God. And so Jesus said, I have all power, and now I'm giving it to you. And so, my friends, we have nothing to fear when Jesus is near. We have no reason to hide when Jesus is at our side. We have nothing to lose when Jesus we choose, and we can't go wrong because Jesus is strong. Therefore, go, Christ says. God is able. There's no question about that. The real question is, are you available? God's ability empowers our availability. Now, let's remember, friends, it's called the Great Commission. A commission is an assignment or duty accomplished by the cooperation of two parties. God's power needs your presence. I want you to notice in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 509, it tells us the secret of success in life and ministry. Listen to these words. Talk about Joshua. Joshua had received the promise that God would surely overthrow the enemies of Israel, yet he put forth as earnest effort as though success depended upon the armies of Israel alone. He did all that human energy could do, and then he cried in faith for divine aid. The secret of success. How many of you want to be successful in life? Here it is. The secret of success is the union of divine power with human effort. Those who achieve the greatest results are those who rely most implicitly upon the mighty arm. The men of prayer are men of power. God's power needs our presence. God's ability empowers our availability. Notice the heavenly formula. Divine power plus human effort equals success. We need to pray as if everything depends upon God alone, but we ought to work as everything depends on us alone. Because God will not do for us what we're able to do for ourselves. God is able. The question is, are you available? My wife and I were just in Africa last month. We got the invitation to do some meetings, two different meetings in South Africa. And we did two different weekends. And during the middle of the week, we got the chance to go to Zimbabwe and Zambia. And that's one of the perks of preaching the gospel in all the world. You can go and see all the world. And so we went to Victoria Falls, and it was absolutely amazing. We went to the Devil's Pool that's right on the edge of the falls, and I had to rename that pool. I said, this is no longer the Devil's Pool. This is the King's Baptistry. It was amazing. We were able to swim there. We also walked with lions. I got the chance to swim with a crocodile in a cage, and the crocodile's face was 6 inches away from mine. It was awesome. But when we were there, we met a very interesting character by the name of Don. Now, Don was a self-proclaimed pot-smoking hippie. He was an artist, a musician, and a master magician. He had long, peculiar blonde hair, and he wore tie-dye t-shirts, and he was traveling there by himself. He's from the States, but traveling to the different countries of Africa all by himself. And he told us that he's not coming back to the States for the next 4 years. And I was wondering, why? Why not? Can you guess? He's going to stay away for the next 4 years to protest the presidency of Trump. And friends, that was kind of strange to me. But at least he is a man that keeps his word, because I heard that many Hollywood stars were saying the same thing, but yet they're still here. But he's trying to make a change by being absent. But friends, let me tell you, positive change seldom comes from being absent. We got to be present in order to bring change. And I found it interesting that what Don is doing politically, many of us are doing spiritually. We try to protest the evils of the world by simply avoiding it. And yes, we ought to remain unspotted from the world, the Bible says, but we're also called to be the salt of the earth. And salt, in order to be effective, it must spread and dissolve and touch what's around it. The point is that we need to be present in order to bring change. And if we're the salt of the earth, as one preacher said, those around us ought to be getting thirsty for the God that we serve. We like to say, Jesus is coming, are you ready? But I think the opposite is more true. Jesus is ready. Are you coming? God's ability is what empowers our availability. God is calling us to go. But you know, sometimes we don't do things in life because we are afraid of failure. There's so many goals and dreams and aspirations that people have, but they don't realize it. The potential is not fully reached because people are just afraid of failure. I remember growing up in Hawaii, my greatest fear was sharks. I remember growing up on the beach and going surfing and whatnot, always have that thought in the back of my mind, man, I hope there's no sharks that come right now. That was my greatest fear. In fact, I remember the first time I saw a shark. I was about, 8 or 9 years old, snorkeling, and all of a sudden I saw the silhouette of a shark. And I was so afraid, I swam as fast as I could to the nearest rock. I hopped up on it, and I looked in the water, and it was a 1-foot shark. A baby shark that was dead on the bottom of the water. I was so afraid of sharks, afraid of getting eaten. But I got some education on them, and now sharks are no longer my greatest fear, but my greatest fascination. One of my favorite things to do in life is swim with sharks. Here's my wife and I in Hawaii swimming with sharks, about 30 of them, about 3 miles offshore. They are amazing creatures, amazing creatures. You see, God made sharks as scavengers. They eat the dead, the dying, the sickly, and the injured. So as long as you're not any of those things, you're all right. And just a few months ago, we got the chance to go to Mexico, and I got the chance to swim with the great white sharks. I took these pictures. Don't they look beautiful? Don't worry, we were in a cage. That one looks a little bit scary. Amazing creatures. We took these pictures. How many of you want to go swim with sharks with me? If you come to Hawaii, we'll go swim with sharks. I promise you have nothing to be afraid of. They're amazing creatures. Now, you might still have reason to be afraid of swimming with sharks. But when it comes to going out into the shark tank of this world to preach the gospel, to be a world changer, you have nothing to be afraid of, friends, because Jesus is with us. Amen. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. Idiotes is the word in the Greek. It means idiot. Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. The greatest qualification of the early church was that they were with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? The disciples were justified before they were qualified. And even though they did not go to the seminaries of the day, they had been with Jesus. And it was their personal experience with Christ that really empowered their witness. Have you been with Jesus? You may have been brought up in a Christian home, gone to Sabbath school all your life. You attend an Adventist university and you've studied theology thoroughly, but have you been with Jesus? You've been promoted to positions of power. You're dating a Christian young man or a Christian young lady. You may be able to sing beautifully and play skillfully and preach powerfully, but have you been with Jesus? Let us remember that our experience with Jesus isn't our only qualification, but it's our greatest qualification. And that's the main thing the Lord is looking for, just for us to be available to Him. God's ability is our availability. He's not looking for capabilities. He's looking for availabilities. He's looking for an empty vessel that He can fill with the rain of His Spirit, a channel of grace through which His love can flow through in a dry, thirsty world. We've been told that God would do His greatest work through the weakest generation. And so let us be humble, not considering any duty beneath us. Let us be faithful in doing the duty that lies closest to us. And let us be available. And God will make Himself able in our behalf. Now, I have one last story, but I'm not sure if I have any more time. One last story I want to close with. A few years ago, we got the chance to do meetings in the Garden of Eden, the island of Kauai in Hawaii, one of the most beautiful places on earth. And we had a team of about 25 Bible workers with us, Bible workers, music evangelists, and our children's program leaders. And it was a powerful experience. One of the ways that I like to run my evangelistic teams is the same way I like to live my life. Go hard or go home. And so we work hard, we pray hard, but we also rest hard and we play hard. And so on one of our days off, we went to a local beach in Hawaii. The beach was named Shipwrecks. And we went bodyboarding that day. The waves were clean and powerful, breaking close to the shore. And only a few of us were experienced wave riders. I had an extra board, so our music evangelist decided to go out with us. There he is on the board. He didn't know how to catch waves, though. He just came as a spectator. His mistake is that he didn't first consult with us about the changing currents and potential danger. And also, when he went out with us, he did not have a leash, nor did he have fins. His board would keep his head above water as long as he held on, but after about an hour floating in the ocean like a buoy, he realized that he was drifting away. The current was pulling him in the opposite direction. And without fins, he grew weak trying to swim against the current. Exhausted, he decided to drift with the current to the other shore. But he didn't realize that the other shore was nothing but jagged rocks and no sand at all. He was being pulled into shallow water where the massive waves were breaking on these jagged rocks. Finally, a wave crashed on his head, pounding him to the reef, taking away his breath and his board. And without a board or fins on his feet, it was only a matter of time that he would be overcome. And so the waves were crashing on his head, and finally he started crying out for help. And my friend took this picture, thinking that he was saying hi, but really he's saying, "Help me!" And from the distance, I saw my friend Taylor in the danger zone, and so I paddled out with my board past the breaking point, and I decided to approach from the outside of the break. I got near and I started calling, "Taylor, swim out! Swim out!" But at that point, his legs began to lock up with cramps. He had lost all strength. He'd already swallowed a lot of seawater and he was gasping for breath. And so with the jagged rocks in front of him and massive waves behind him, there was no place for him to go but under. And he told me later that just before he heard me crying out, he had already been saying his final prayer, committing his life to the Lord. He couldn't save himself. He lost all hope. But there's something I could see that he couldn't see. And that while there was still life, there was still hope. And so I paddled in the danger zone to Taylor. I threw my board to him, attached to my leash. And then I started to swim and drag my brother Taylor, 300 plus pounds of weight. He lost a lot of weight since then, but back then he was a little bit more heavy. And I brought him to shore and he laid there on the sand like a tired sea turtle trying to regain his strength. After that, he enveloped me. He hugged me and buried his face in my shoulder and he wept like a little baby for 2 minutes straight saying, "Thank you for saving my life." Let me tell you, friends, I never had a grown man weep on my shoulder like that. But I have to say, it felt good. It felt good to be able to be someone's hero, to have an opportunity to save someone's life. Not every day you can experience something like that. But friends, I really can't take too much credit. I'm not a lifeguard. I was not trained formally or educated nor ordained into the lifeguard ministry. I know how to swim. I'm familiar with the ocean currents, but I'm not the strongest swimmer. Compared to others, there's nothing really special with me. I was simply a fellow lay swimmer that happened to be in the right place with the right equipment at the right time with the right experience. And for my brother Taylor, I was both able and available. At that moment, he did not need a trained, accredited, approved professional. All he needed was someone with just a little bit more experience than he did. And friends, in the same way, most people in the world just need someone that has a little bit more experience than they do in spiritual things. And so what the Lord has allowed me to be for Taylor, God has done for each and every one of us. You may not be able to save someone from physically drowning, but how many of you today want to say, "Lord, I want to make myself available to you, so that you can place me in the right place, at the right time, with the right equipment, and the right experience, that I might be able to save someone from spiritually drowning today. Is that your prayer today? If so, would you stand with me as we close? And let us ask the Lord that His ability will empower our availability. Let us close. Father, we thank You so much that You've placed upon us a great commission. Lord, we are weak. Our resources are small. But we thank You, Lord, that the task in front of us is not bigger than You. You have all power. And we pray, Lord, that Your power would fill our hearts and our lives today. Lord, all around us there are souls in danger that are drowning spiritually. Father, we want to make ourselves available to You. So please take us to the places You want us to be. Give us an experience with You that we might save someone from spiritually drowning today. We thank You, Lord, for hearing this prayer. Bless us. The rest of this day is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. For more information about this ministry and or to invite Revelation of Hope Ministries to your church or event, please visit our website at revelationofhopeministries.com. Aloha and Maranatha.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.